it from your heart to him. You are holy, King of kings, Lord of lords, I worship you. Let's sing it to him. He's Jesus. You're Jesus. There's no one like you, Lord. You are Jesus. Yes, King of kings. You're my Lord of lords. You are Jesus. Hallelujah. Jesus. Oh, you are Jesus. You are King of kings, Lord of lords. We worship you because you're King of kings, Lord of lords, and we worship you. Let's all stand as we praise him. Lord, we praise you. We worship you. We glorify you. There is no one like you, Lord. You're the only King of kings and Lord of lords. You're the Lamb of God. You are the Word that was made flesh. You came, you died, you are Savior, you're our Redeemer. We cannot say enough about you and how good you are. We express from our hearts, Lord, how much we love you, and we want to be pleasing in your sight, O God. We believe in you, we trust in you, we value what we have with you, Lord. You have redeemed us so that we could be one with you, and we thank you for that, Father. What a great day that we live in. To be your children today, to be your bride, O Lord, hallelujah. The great marriage is here, it's come, Lord, and we're preparing a bride prepared for her bridegroom, Lord. We thank you, Father. Bless your word now as we come before you, Lord. Empty, only to your cross we cling. We don't bring anything of ourselves, Lord. We're not trying to present ourselves, O Lord, as though we're anything. But Father God, we're all just vessels. We're recipients of your word and of your thoughts. We have received, Lord, from you, and we are giving out, pouring out only what you poured into us. So let us be that way, that vessel, Lord, that you can pour out into others. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. How many loves the Word of God with all your heart? I think last Wednesday we had a little bit of a prayer line. A couple people came up for prayer. Sister Celine had a testimony on Sunday, so sure appreciated that. And I think if you want, I'll just share with everybody your testimony. I know she wouldn't mind doing it, but sometimes it's a little less embarrassing to get up in front of everybody. She shared with me on Sunday that the day after, Thursday, after being prayed for, this elongated cold that was just harassing her seemed to be returning. Anyone ever had that before? You know how you have a cold, you know, like once it's over. And then, but for one weird reason or another, it feels like it's all coming right back again. Well, that's what she was dealing with. We prayed, laid hands on her. And by the grace of God, Thursday, by God's grace, completely relieved of the whole thing. She's here tonight. She's healthy as can be. So we're thankful for that. Anyone else have a testimony tonight? Yeah. I did pray that.
Because my request was I wanted to be able to commune more with the Lord.
Yeah.
So the next morning, lately I've been listening to the Bible on my phone. But the next morning, I grabbed my Bible, my real Bible, and I always have, wherever I stop, I put something in my Bible. I continue. So what was exactly what I was supposed to read that day was exactly what Brother Elijah
yes.
read that Wednesday. Romans 9 about the vessel.
I forgot about that. She shared that with me too on Sunday. So yeah, that was That's good. You know, so all those little things, like God just encouraging you along the way, it's something that he's going to do. And why, you know, sometimes when I pray with you, or even if I meet with you personally, we just start talking, the Spirit of God can use me because it's a gift that he gave to just discern something in your life and give you just a hint or whatever you need to go forward, and then you'll see God in your life. So just, you know, does somebody notice this church looks different? Like, I don't know. No, we came in, Brother Mark helped out with his truck, but we came in and we made a couple of slight changes. This isn't permanent, by the way. We weren't in here, you know, with nails and hammer. These are paneling, but they're kind of, got to work on it a little bit more. It needs a little bit of help. But I hope you like it. I just want to bring a little more warmth here and, as I said, atmosphere. There's a couple changes we're going to be making still, so I'm going to ask you for some help as we go along. But I know everybody's busy, so I try to do my part, too, because, you know, I'm here. I'm the pastor. We don't have a lot of people. I'm going to do what I got to do, right? You have your Bible with you, Isaiah chapter 40, verse 27 through 31. Isaiah chapter 40, 27 through 31. A lot of times we only read verse 31, but I want to get a background. That's a whole, there's a whole paragraph there that you're chopping out when you just read the 31st verse. So starting at verse 27, Isaiah 40. Why do you say, O Jacob, and speak, O Israel, my way is hidden from the Lord, and my just claim has been passed over by my God. In other words, it's a complaint. The answer is, have you not known? Have you not heard? The everlasting God, the Lord, the creator of the ends of the earth, neither faints nor is weary. His understanding is unsearchable. He gives power to the weak, and to those who have no might, he increases strength. Even the youths shall faint and be weary, and the young men shall utterly fall. But those who wait on the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. May God bless you as you are seated. Arise, eagles. That's the thought tonight. I want you as eagles to arise. Amen? Arise. It's not as hard as it seems. Once you're up, you're going to keep going up. Once you start up, you keep going up. You never have to come back down. You just keep rising, 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 rising. But just got to get us off the ground, right? Once we get off the ground, we got to get off the fence posts. We got to get off the tree limb. We got to get off the cliffside. And once we mount up, onto the wind, onto the thermodynamics wind, the thermals. Forget about it after that. Just hold the wings steady. The rest of it will be history. We just got to arise. Arise. I'm just saying, arise. Keep believing. There's better and greater things that God wants to do for us. He's got bigger, bigger, bigger things, bigger plans for us. We think too small most of the time. We almost offend God by how tiny our thoughts are. God wants us to think big, but start small and expand on it. So it's okay if you start small, but don't stay small. And certainly don't go from big to small. Think bigger, bigger, bigger. God can do greater things. Bible says God can do above what we could ever ask or think or imagine. God is beyond that. Remember, he's a big God. Have you not known? Have you not heard? We're talking about the creator of the universe. He made you. He designed you. He knows what you're capable of. He knows what he put into you. God packed a lot into a little thing. He packed a lot into a seed. He put it in there. He sends the Holy Spirit to anoint that. That's really what's got to be renewed. That's what's going to grow. That's what's going to build strength upon strength upon strength. Do you believe that? Amen? So the word weary there really means to be tired. How many has felt tired lately? Anybody else besides me? Sometimes you just get tired. And I'm not just talking about physically, because I feel that too, but physically tired. Sometimes you feel mentally tired. Just from dealing with life and the, you know, money and things and items and work and stuff and dealings. Mentally tired, emotionally tired. How many here is emotionally tired? Just be honest. D- dealing with family, all kinds of things, emotionally tired. Today was a very emotionally tiring day for me because today I dropped my son off at the National Guard recruiting station, which is just a little farther. It's up in Granby, Connecticut, but just a little bit north of our Bradley International Airport. So he's going in for MEPS. MEPS means 2 days. They take him up to Massachusetts where the other air base is, and they run him through the whole thing. And ultimately, they're going to give him a yes or a no. They could potentially say, no, sorry, for whatever reason, we're not going to take you. He's going to be taking tests. I dropped him off today. I took a picture of him standing there waiting for his recruiting officer, and I said, I got to go. I left. But it kills. It hurts because, in a sense, that's your little baby boy growing up. Right. And unfortunately, as we grow up, we grow more independent. So that's a hard thing. But that's the word weary. Also, I think sometimes we can be tired spiritually. Yeah. We can get tired spiritually. And that doesn't make it bad. Some people struggle with what they're believing and what do we believe in this message. And they make the bad mistake of wanting to get away because they're sick of being tired. But the reason a lot of times we get tired spiritually is because we're trying to handle our spiritual lives when it's not your responsibility. We forget that's God's responsibility. That's not mine. The battle is not mine. The battle is the Lord's. I'm tired of fighting this battle. I'm wore out fighting the spiritual battle. The battle's not yours. It's the Lord's. When are we going to learn this? I'm still trying to figure it out, right? But we got to learn it. This is not your battle. It's His. We got to let Him do it. That's the word weary. How about the word faint? The reason I'm bringing up these two words because I read the whole context, it shows up several times. I'm going to go back and get it for you. But the word faint means to pass out due to exhaustion. Anyone ever been there? Physically so exhausted. I remember running on the track team. We would do 6 miles one day, and the second day we'd do 3 miles. 6 miles, 3 miles in my high school year. That was track team. And then I was on the soccer team too, so I was doing a bunch of running with that. And I remember just having enough in my family, it runs in my family, a little bit of a low blood pressure and a low blood sugar at the same time. Those are two kind of a rough combination to have. My blood pressure runs at about 110 over 60. Sometimes it goes lower than 110. They just said if it goes below 100 or gets into the 90s, we got to watch out. But and then my sugars can be low. And so because of that, I remember one time coming in from a long run, a long day of practice. I came in and I just started seeing, blacking out. Started seeing stars. And so I lay down on a bench in the locker room and zonked out. And somebody came and got me and said, hey, you okay? I said, I don't know what happened there. But I was so exhausted just from my body being depleted that I passed out. You can pass out from exhaustion. And basically, the bottom line is you can become mentally, emotionally, physically, and spiritually depleted. Amen. You can. But see, Jesus said something very powerful to the woman at the well. He says, look, you keep coming back here to get water. Obviously, you have a bucket. It's empty. You're coming here to get water. You have to do this every day because you need water every day. Why? Because water gets depleted. But he says, I'm telling you about a well that never runs dry. Now, that doesn't mean that the well can't get stopped up. Remember Jacob dug wells and the Philistines filled them with dirt and sand and rocks? It can get stopped up. And sometimes we let the cares of this life, the worries and the stresses, our doubts and fears, and all the junk around us and all the bombardment of negativity fill up our wells. And we're like, oh no, I'm dying of thirst. But you actually still have within you a resource of inexhaustible water that can keep on flowing. All you got to do is what Jacob did, dig the wells back out again. I hope that we do that tonight. As eagles, it's hard to fly when you got a little weight on you. We got to shuck all the weight, shuck all the negativity, most of it's mental anyway, and then get renewed, hallelujah, so we can go ahead and fly. I want to pick up these words, weary and faint, because that's our challenges. It says, have you not heard, have you not known the creator of the ends of the earth, neither faints, nor is weary. Did you catch it? There it is. First, same words. Then it goes on and says this. He's a God who increases strength. He gives power to the weak. Even young people, even the youths shall faint and be weary. See the comparisons? And young men shall utterly fall. But those who wait on the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. Hallelujah! That's what it's all about. That's what I get excited about. This is what helps me get through the day, is I know that my strength is not coming from me. It's coming from Him. I know that as hard as it might be physically, emotionally, sometimes I'm hurting so bad, physically, I'm just mentally worn out. Because it's psychosomatic. I'm just mental. You don't want to deal with it anymore. Sometimes you get to that point because of the physical. Sometimes it's the mental that's affecting you physically. Right? But our strength isn't coming from us. It's coming from Him. There's no scripture that says, muster up your strength and try to, you know. There is a verse that says, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. Right? You've heard that? That's the only, when people talk about going to work out, I said, I work out every day. I work out my my own salvation with fear and trembling. So we have a workout system. But the key is that we're always going to be faced with the extreme tiredness on many levels. And to the point of being so exhausted, right? Parenting can exhaust you. Being a kid with parents can exhaust you. That's hard to do. I did it once and I'll never go back. Not enough kids here. There's some kids here. But they get the idea, right? I'm getting some amens from over here now. Kids here, you know, being kids is exhausting, isn't it, kids? Don't wait, your mom's looking. Hold on. Okay, now you can say amen. Just bat your eye three times, and I'll know you got the message. In Exodus chapter 19, the Bible teaches us that God Himself relates Himself as an eagle. He thinks of Himself as an eagle. He wants us to think like an eagle thinks. You like that, right, Brother Tommy? That's one of your favorite things, right? We are eagles. We're not earthbound creatures. We're not slugs. The devil fed us a lie our whole lives. You're just a slug. You're just a slug is all you are. And if you don't watch out, God's going to pour salt on you. Yeah, He's going to melt you in the sun. That's not true. We're not slugs. We're eagles. Amen. We are a special built bird. We are designed by God who Himself relates to being an eagle Himself. He said this to Moses. He said, tell the children of Israel that I took you from the Egyptians and I bore you on eagle's wings and brought you to myself. You know what's so powerful about that? When we realize that it is God who has been redeeming us. It's God who's been bringing. There wasn't really, I was once a sinner, then I became a Catholic, and then I became a Baptist, then I became a Pentecostal. I was making all the right steps. You're not going to think like that. When you really realize, no matter what your life experience and is, in the end, you all know that God has brought you on eagle's wings. God has brought you on eagle's wings. And where did He bring you to? Not to a church. He brought you to Himself. The whole purpose of God is to bring us to Himself. I wish all Christianity would get this. I wish all religions would get this. God's program is, but in order to bring us to Himself, He Himself had to come to us to bear us, carry us up on His wings. And as He's carrying us, He's teaching us. By the way, this is how you learn to fly. You know, it's so cool to actually learn how to fly by the one who knows how to fly. And that's what that scripture is, Exodus 19. Also in Deuteronomy 32, speaks about Israel. It says, I found you in a desert land and in a wasteland. How many's ever felt like you've been there before? A howling wilderness. I'm not sure what that means, but it could be that if you were in the outback's wilderness of Israel or somewhere in those Arabian desert places, you would be hearing howling of wolves, of coyotes, of, you know, foxes or all kinds of animals, like lions even, these different beasts that would howl. And, you know, you're just trying to survive. How many's ever been there before, right? That's been our life until Christ. That was B.C. But since Christ came in, He brought us out. He said that He encircled him. He instructed him. God encircles us and He instructs us. You're going to learn something about the Lord in every experience of your life. The good, the bad, and the ugly. It's all God's opportunity to instruct us. We can learn a lot. You know, sometimes we do, we receive blessing. We receive a huge blessing from the Lord, and sometimes we have to learn a lesson from that. Right? Because blessed, the Lord gives and the Lord takes away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. So he'll teach us. But he encircles us. What I love about that is if you're in the wilderness, it's howling. It's, in other words, it's a dangerous place. The most relief you can get is to be encircled. And that's what he does. First, he takes care of all the dangers. He encircles us. The dangers are no longer an issue. But then he starts instructing us on how we can get out of that situation. And then it says, and he kept or guarded him as the apple of his eye. This is a term that is an old Jewish term, which means that God puts you right in front of him. And so that if anyone tries to go after you, they'll be going after God. Somebody once said it this way. If somebody pokes you, they'll be poking God in the eye. They're not gonna fare well if that happens. But he keeps you. He guards you as the apple of his eye. You become the number one most important thing before God's eyes. And then he says this. As an eagle stirs up its nest, hovers over its young, spreading out its wings, taking them up, carrying them on its wings, so the Lord alone led him, and there was no foreign God with him. Now, what's powerful about that is that when God comes, he specifically pays attention to you to help you. He's going to encircle you. He's going to protect you. He's going to instruct you. But then he's going to take you up on his wings. And I love this. As an eagle stirs up its nest, if an eagle has a nest, what's in the nest? What's in the nest? Yeah, the eagle doesn't make a nest for himself. Eagles don't have to sleep in nests. They just clutch a branch or something and then he can fall asleep. That's for babies. It's for God's offspring. Does that make sense? So God relates himself as an eagle, but he's also relating us as an eagle, which is really powerful. He hovers over his young, spreading out his wings, taking them up, carrying them on his wings. Why would he do that? Well, if you ever watch eagles, that's how they teach the baby eagles how to fly. They'll put an eagle on a wing here and one on there, or maybe just one at a time. And the eagle will grab on with his little beak and hold on to mama's pinions, her feathers, and grip with his little claws, and he's holding on, and mama takes him for a flight. And it's a fun flight. It's so fun going through the air and like on a roller coaster. He's having a lot of fun. He's having a blast until mama flips upside down, and she goes whoosh, whoosh, with her wings, and he comes flying off. And he's like, Mama, you're going to kill me. What's going on? Right? How many of you have experienced that, right? Seems like we come to the Lord, we're having a great time in the Lord, and then the next thing you know, it's like you're in free fall. What just happened? What are you trying to do? You know, God, how can you do this? That's exactly how God does it. But what he's doing is he wants to get the eagle wants to get the little baby eaglet to get the feel of what wind is. Wind and current are powerful. They're your friend. They're not your enemy. They're your friend. But what's also important for the little eagle to understand is that built into himself are these powerful wings like mama has. If he could just learn to stop flopping. How many here feels like you're in flop mode? Right? Lord, I'm flying. No, you're not. You're just like a huge butterball, you know, feather ball just flying through the air. You're not flying yet. So what mama will do is she'll come down, she'll get down below the little eaglet and put her wings out, and she'll land. The baby lands on the wings and grabs on again. And she'll do it over again and over again and over again. And at some point, she'll start screaming. This one guy observed how the eagles teach the eaglets how to fly. She'll flop them off again, and she'll start screaming at them in eagle language, apparently, spread out your wings. And she's screaming and going like this, flying over his head, flying over him as he's spinning, to show an example. I feel like God has sent his word in this day as an eagle to take the church, people from the church, and say, come on, you're in a howling wilderness, but I am teaching you how to survive. You're going to be great. You have greatness in you. But all you got to learn is that you have wings and you can develop strength to hold out your wings, and the wind and the air and the currents will do the rest. Hallelujah. We'll get more into that in a minute. I want you to just catch that. It's beautiful, right? So it goes on. to teach us that. Now, the word wait, right? So the word wait is a pretty cool word. Those who wait on the Lord is a word that doesn't so much mean to, you know, sit around and just wait, right? You know, sit around and just, I'll let God do it. I don't need to do nothing. That's not how it works. Get a picture of a little eagle in a nest waiting for mama. What's he waiting for? Papa eagle or mama eagle is going to come with food. So the little eagle is not just waiting. She's waiting eagerly. He or she is waiting eagerly, excited, expectation. I'm going to be fed. I'm going to be fed. I am so hungry, but I know mama eagle's coming to feed me. I hear her voice. I don't see her. I don't know where he is, but I know I'm going to be fed. And usually eagles pair up for life, and so mama and papa eagle both keep coming and feeding. Just secular. Isn't that great? And that's why you have times when you come to church, you're getting fed. Amen. You're sitting here, but you don't come here just saying, I'm fine. I got my spiritual life. I expect that you come here a little bit hungry, like, Lord, I can sure use an answer for this. Lord, I sure struggle today in this area. I know that's not me. I feel horrible, but Lord, I just feel there's got to be something. That's why I'm coming. That's why you're here. You come here a little hungry. You come here some expectation. You're kind of excited, like, what's God going to do today? What's God going to say today? And that's the beauty of the word wait. It actually means to look eagerly to or expect from with excitement. To be expecting with excitement. Something powerful is going to happen today. That's how God has his little eagles. And then the next word that I want you to pick up on is the word renew. He renews our strength. The word renew is really cool because it means to replace or to reinvigorate. How many could use a little pump of that? That's why you're here tonight, right? God wants to take strength that gets depleted and renew it. And obviously when the little eaglet starts chowing down on some nice red meat or whatever he's eating, that just reinvigorates his strength. His energy comes back. Now here's the cool thing about it. Those little eaglets, when they're eating, they're not eating just because they're hungry. That's how it feels. But really they're eating because their entire body is demanding it. Those little feathers that are developing on their wings are crying out, give me nourishment. But his existence, all he knows, is a nest up on a cliff, up in a tree somewhere. That's my home. This is my life. My life is sit here, listen to all the other birds sing, wait for mom and dad to come feed me. Sit here. That's for some of you, that's how you are. You come to church, you're just sitting, waiting to be fed. Sunshine is beautiful. I like to hear the other creatures. It's kind of fun. And waiting to be fed. You know, and it goes over and over, right? It's true. Some of us are that way. But you see, those things that are making you hungry, those what you could call stalks, the eagle wing is made up of all the feathers, and each feather has an empty quill. We call it a quill, right? It's empty. It's empty when we get it, because when it falls out, it's empty. There's nothing inside. It's just like an empty straw. But when it's on the eagle, it is filled with blood. The eagle's blood, the eaglet's blood, is actually passing in and out of the quills, causing the little feathers to grow, interlace, keep growing. And as long as he doesn't miss a meal, he'll have perfect feathers. Won't be missing any. And why is that important? Because those feathers on those wings are designed for another world, for another life. They're not designed to sit on a nest your whole life. Okay, James? Right? It's not going to be forever that you just magically find cereal in the cupboard and a bowl there and clean bowls and clean utensils, spoons. Right? It's not going to be forever. I'm not picking on James because I do the same thing. It's magical in my house. I don't know how my clothes always come up clean. They're always sitting there clean, folded. Yep, it's great. I don't know how that happens. It's magic. It's a miracle. It's not going to be forever. But mom and dad are training us to do that ourselves. Eventually, you're going to find out the magic. You got to wash your own dishes. And by the way, how many here understands the dishwasher is not a dishwasher? It's a dish sanitizer. We sit there and scrub away at the dishes, make sure there's no gunk on them, and they're almost clean enough to eat out of. Your dog would eat out of them, but I guess we wouldn't. Then we put them in the dishwasher, and we have steaming hot water and steaming hot air. Why? Because we want to sterilize them. So it's really a dish sterilizer, right? Well, sometimes that's what the Lord does with us. We get a basic good scrubbing, like we need it. But there's times when we need a little more than scrubbing. We need to go through the dish sterilizer. Not fun, but necessary. How many need a nice sterilizing today? I could use one. I love it. God knows how to do that. He'll put you through such a place to where there's nothing left for you to do but believe. You can't do it yourself. You're just going to say, I know it's no man can do this, no person, no institution, no system. I am trusting in the creator of the heavens and the earth. My faith is on you, Lord. My dependence is on you, Lord. I'm depending on you only. He loves that. Sometimes he has to put us there between a rock and a hard place, between the Red Sea and the Egyptian army to get us to a finally where we go, okay, I give up. I trust the Lord. He wants you to give up, but he wants you to give up and trust him. So to renew means to replace or invigorate. And that makes sense when you think of the eagles. Now, it says in Psalm 103, and I love this one here, bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits, who forgives all your iniquities, who heals all your diseases, who redeems your life from destruction, who crowns you with loving kindness and tender mercies. I think about God just pouring his loving kindness. That means loving acts on your head. Crowns you with loving kindness and tender mercies. Sometimes we do such bad things we think we ought to get whooped by God, right? But instead, what does he do? He comes with tender mercies. That just makes your heart almost break more, doesn't it? We know we deserve others, but he gives us tender mercies instead. Who satisfies your mouth with good things. Now you're starting to see the eagle again. Who satisfies your mouth, not this one, but spiritual mouth, with good things, so that your youth is renewed like the eagles. Every eagle in history that I've ever studied about, the people who've studied it, have goes through a moping period. They're called a moping period. The eagle itself hits about the age of 50, and then it just stops flying, goes down to the earth and stays down there, and it doesn't fly anymore, and it doesn't care anymore. He kind of gets depressed, and he no longer has the vision of the sky anymore. He no longer cares. He just kind of lost the feeling or the excitement of life. Maybe some of you have been there. Not the young people, maybe, but some of the rest of us, right? And his claws get all calloused over, so he can't really use his talons like he used to. Even his beak gets calluses, or not calluses, but calcification on them. So he could barely open his mouth. It doesn't really eat. He gets real thin and real skinny. And the eagle would, in that condition, will actually die. Unless there's only one hope. And that is other eagles start flying over and screaming, come back, you know, come back, come back. You can fly. You're made for something better. These eagles that come over and flying over are actually eagles that have been through it. They've already been through that moping period. And what these eagles will start doing is taking pieces of meat and dropping it down on the eagle. Just dropping pieces of meat just to get him to smell it, just to get him to maybe take a bite. Because once he takes a bite, he'll get his strength back. It'll be renewed. He'll start renewing his strength by continuing to eat till he's renewed like a youth again, a young eagle. Isn't that powerful stuff? That's true in history. Somebody studied that too, researched it. But I think some of us may be going through a little bit of that sometimes in one area or another. You feel a little bit like you're in a I don't know, man. I don't have the excitement anymore. I'm missing something. And that's why you're here tonight. Hopefully there's a chunk of meat that just landed on your head. That might be a good way, you know, bonk. Wow, what was that? Right? Maybe that's what we need. You got to just have something, because screaming's not enough. Maybe you need some meat. And what will happen is that eagle, once he sort of wakes up from his condition, the first thing he'll do is he'll go find a rock and he'll start hitting his beak on it. Pounding, pounding. What's he doing? He's trying to break the calcification off of his beak. Because if he can get his mouth to work again, he can start eating.
Amen.
Hallelujah. I think maybe some of us need to get a big rock in our backyard and just start hitting it. No, don't do that. That'll mess up your dental work. But, you know, that's kind of spiritually what I think we need to do sometimes. We get kind of encapsulated in our own life, and we forget about where our strength is really supposed to come from. And I believe God is screaming and sending us food. It's coming. It's here. So we need to just kind of find a way to get it. So once you break that calcification off, start eating. Even if it's a little piece, one little scripture, like our sister read, there's one little scripture about vessel. You made a connection for her. God will inspire you with that, and then it gives you more strength for the next small meal, the next one. And a lot of times, the Bible says, do not look down upon or think small of small things. Small things are God's way of helping build you for where you need to go. Sometimes you got to take baby steps, a lot of them, to be able to learn how to take adult steps. Right? Doesn't that make sense? So your youth will be renewed like an eagle's. It's based on your mouth being filled with good things. Strength. I love this word strength. The word strength there, remember how it says, shall renew your strength? Is ability, capability, efficiency, production, wealth even. Your strength is what you're able to do, what you're capable of doing, but your strength is also the end result of what you do. There may be times when you look back in your life and says, man, I remember I accomplished this thing. I did this big thing, and it was a big challenge. I got it done. I don't know if I would be able to do it nowadays, but I did it back then. See, that's the kind of thinking. You know you are capable. You know you have the ability because you've already done it. You've accomplished it. Do you believe that? So strength is this kind of strength is powerful because it is something that you already have, that you are aware that's there, but what God wants to do is renew it, right? He wants to reinvigorate that strength, that capability, that ability that's in you. And it's not your ability, it's his ability that he put in you. Now, one thing you have to know about God in his nature, he's not so much even looking for your ability, he's really interested in your availability. Because your ability is not yours, it's his. Until you make yourself available to it, you can't see it happen, but God will use it. You can be the best parent you can ever be by letting God be the parent through you. You can be the best husband, you can be the best wife by letting God be the husband, let God be the wife. Let God be the mother, let God be the father, let God be you as a child. That's all letting God. He's played out all those roles so he can be that in you. Doesn't that work? Doesn't that make sense? Now, here's where it gets really good. The word mount up, it's a strange word. We think of it as mounting up on a horse, mounting up on an animal, right? That's what you do. You mount up on a horse. But the word there, mount up, really just simply means to go up or to ascend or to climb up. Now, that sounds a little bit strange. Why would eagles be climbing up? Well, because when you understand the way wind works, or way the eagle starts using air currents, then you start understanding that what an eagle does is he just simply sets his wings. Now, if there's no current, if there's no wind, he's got to use his wings. That's all there is to it. In other words, if there's no Holy Spirit around, you're going to do a lot of work yourself. But when the Spirit of God moves in, how many's ever seen you're on a highway, it's a windy highway, you're like, wow, it's so windy, my car. But then you see these big hawks just going like this. What they're doing is they are taking advantage of the strength of the wind to help them accomplish their goal. By simply holding out their wings and stretching them out as far as they can, just holding them in place, All they have to do is just tweak it a little bit there, tweak it a little bit there. They can move left. They can move right. They can go up. They can go down. Think about an airplane with those little things in the back, right? The rudders will go down, up, or down. I guess the rudder goes this way, but that's simply it. They're just simply, you'll watch them just move their tail a little this way, and they'll move over that way. Tail goes that way, they'll move this way. Because they're using the power of the wind. And I want you to know that you not only have power in your wings, but the most important thing is to try to use your wings as least as possible, as little as possible. Use the power of the wind. Something I feel the Lord has really, really started to teach me is, look, yeah, you have the ability, you have the capability, you can do this, but I have the wind. The Holy Spirit is so super powerful, and it's blowing all the time. It's just we never take advantage of it, but it's here right now. And all he's saying is, if you could just rise up high enough by my word, enter into my promises, and then just set your wings and just hold them there, I'll carry you up. And what happens, the eagle can move ever so slightly and keep on moving up. He keeps progressing up, keeps progressing up. What is he doing? He's mounting up. He's climbing up on higher thermals, higher wind. Keep climbing higher. Higher, higher, as high as you want to go. Just keep on climbing. All you're doing, you don't want to go crazy with it. I mean, if you completely put your wings back, you'll be blown backward. You'll be blown with the wind. So you got to go a little bit against the wind, but just set it just right where it's pulling you up. It's kind of like a ship that's going against the wind, and it'll do something called tacking. And if you set your sail just right, the wind is hitting the back end of the sail, and it's forcing the boat to go forward, trying to go around, but because the wind is there, it's forcing it this way. You see what's going on? You're actually not quite going toward your target. You're a little bit off. Then you pull your sails over the other side, and the wind is hitting the back, and now you're going this way, and it's called tacking. And an eagle's kind of doing the same thing. He's moving up, and he can go back and forth, and he can keep mounting up on the wind. I'm telling you, the wind of the Word of God has hit this generation. He's come in this time to cause a people to strengthen their wings and set them and set your faith in the wind of the Holy Spirit, of the Word of God. Set your faith in that and just let Him just carry you up, up, up. We're going in a rapture. Do you believe that? Hallelujah. Now understand the power of the wings. God shows us His wings so we can learn about the power of our own wings. I want you to catch that. David said so many times, over and over again, "Hide me, O Lord, under the shadow of your wings." Why? Because the wings are protection. The wings are powerful. And you get that picture from David. David said in Psalm 91, he says, "He who dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. God shall cover you with His feathers. Under His wings you shall take refuge. His truth shall be your shield and buckler." See all the connections there. As you're hearing the Word of God tonight, as I'm preaching it, do you know what's happening? God's just wrapping you up in His wings, covering you. Nothing's going to touch you. Nothing. No sickness is going to, you know, you could get sick, but you're going to be healed. Everything you need is under His wings. He's just covering you. He's giving you a big, huge, eagle Holy Ghost hug. Nothing like getting a hug by the Word of God. Amen? And so I want you to understand that so you can learn their strength in those wings. There's strength in those wings. And God wants us to turn around and use our wings to hug one another. Amen? With our prayer, with good, positive, encouraging words. Just send the Holy Spirit. Send the Word to each other. Just encourage one another as we pray for each other and as we worship the Lord together. Isn't that a wonderful thing to do? Amen? We don't have brothers who hug sisters and sisters hug brothers. I can hug my wife. I can hug my daughter. We don't do that. We don't do that because we keep the church as pure as we can, and we want to reflect something that's beautiful about God. And we don't want our minds to be drawn to the physical realm, right? And because we have visitors come and people that are still sinners, they're going to get the idea, oh, it's okay, and then they start trying to, you know, you never know. I mean, it's just, say it's a young brother, he's got testosterone, you know, like every normal man does. He's going to want to hug all the girls, and then you got a mess. So we just don't do that. We'd rather have you shake hands, say God bless you, but hug a brother, sister, hug a sister, that's all fine. But that doesn't mean you can't hug each other with the Spirit. You can hug each other with the Spirit when you pray, when you worship together, when you see each other. You just say, thank God for you. You get excited. And that shows an embrace of the love of God. That's the way we should be. As we learn about the strength of His wings, we're also learning about our own strength. Does that make sense? And then He renews our strength every single day. Every day. And I've had people tell me this, hey, I feel like I have lost my strength. It's been days. I'm like, when's the last time you read the Bible? Oh, it's been days. I said, when's the last time you prayed? It's been days. You know, you don't have to discern a lot. You just simply say, when's the last time you prayed? When's the last time you read the Bible? When's the last time, you know, you've had some fellowship with a brother or sister instead of so-called fellowship with mealy, bad-mouthed people, you know, people at work? You know, well, he's a Christian, but he swears like every other word. Like, I'm sorry, man, you know, that's a mission field for you, but don't die out in the mission field. You know, Jesus said pray for the laborers, but the laborers aren't supposed to kill themselves. You want to try to get a harvest in, but don't destroy yourself doing it. I mean, come on. This is a bad, pretty ugly world that we live in. We got to reach out for people, but we also got to get renewed. And that's why David said, very powerful, these words, he who dwells in the secret place of the Most High. So always know where your secret place is in God, where you can get alone and it's just you and Him and He can renew your strength. It can be right here while you're sitting here in church, obviously. That's why you come back. Romans 12:2 says, and do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Do you realize that your bodies are going to be transformed in a rapture because your mind got renewed? Isn't that weird? Lord, why don't you just come and renew my body? Because why would He want this, old mindset mind, you know, old decrepit mind full of wrinkles in a brand new body? That'd be horrible. He already said about Adam and Eve, we can't allow them to eat of the tree of life now because they're full of sin. I have to deal with the inside of the inside and work my way outward. Praise the Lord. And so what God is doing, He first changes your soul, then He changes your spirit, your mind, He renews it, and then He changes your body. How many wants to be transformed? How many wants to be raptured? We could never have a renewal of our minds throughout the church age because there was some things missing. Paul knew it. He even had to rebuke the church of his day and say, look, I would love to go deeper into these things, but you're not ready yet. You're still desiring milk. You're still desiring baby food. I can't give you real meat. I wish I could, but he knew God would do it at the end. Church has to go through 7 stages. John knew it. It would come at the end. He heard 7 thunders, right? Everybody knew it has to be at the end. Here we are. Where are we? We're at the end. Time to go beyond milk. Amen. Time to get beyond baby food, right? I mean, how many here can admit to me that as good as mashed up pears taste, you just wouldn't want to eat that for every meal? You're kind of done with it, right? You would say you're done with it? Good. Because that's why you're here, to be transformed by the renewing of your mind. And that's what the Word of God has come to do. God didn't send us little old mealy mouth message. He sent us a powerful message. I mean, it's steak and it's got, you know, the bread and it's got vegetables. I mean, it's got butter on there. I mean, it's like, this is good stuff. Your body just says, yes, I got to have that, right? Now, I know if some of you are vegetarians, then that's the way it's got to be. But, you know, if you're vegetarians, you still don't want to eat, you know, just a salad every day. I'm telling you, I like a salad about as good as anybody else, but I'll eat salads for about 3 days in a row and I'm done. I don't care. That was Greek and that was Italian and that was California Cobb salad and I'm done. Time to go to something else. But because it's not enough. Vegetarian, it doesn't matter. What matters is, are you being fed? Amen. Are you being nourished? because that's how your minds get renewed. That was Romans 12, 2. You understand that, right? 2 Corinthians chapter 4 says this, therefore we do not lose heart, even though our outward man is perishing. Admittedly, these things are perishing, right? Yet the inward man or person is being renewed day by day. Every day, every day. You got to feed that inward man. He needs the word. He needs the worship. He needs the spirit. He needs everything. Encouragement, fellowship. Got to have it day by day. For our light affliction, which is but for a moment. And I love the connection here. Paul says our outward man is perishing. In other words, our light affliction. Anyone here know what that would be? Well, if you want to take the lightest affliction that we all have, and we all have it, it's growing old. I mean, that's what's going on. New body aches, new pains, new this, new that. That's an affliction. We're under that, right? But he calls it a light affliction. Is but for a moment. You're only going to grow old for so long. It's got to end at some point. He says, what is it for? He says, all that that's happening to you, and some of this affliction, of course, it could be other things, like you're being attacked, different things you got to deal with, standing for the truth. He says, but it's all working for us, on behalf of us. For us, a more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. There's something more glorious that the things that you have to go through. I was sharing with Brother Claude and Sister Celine today. We were talking and I was sharing about how that God will actually design you in your mother's womb, create you with a certain nature, personality, bring you into this world, and actually help you become very good at what you're good at, and then get a hold of your life and strip it all out. Challenge you to the max. Work against the grain. What's he doing that for? Brother Branham said, God took Moses, raised him up in Egypt, and he said, and God, through Pharaoh's teachers, trained Moses to be the best that he could be, so he could actually lead the country. And then he put him out in the wilderness and stripped it all out of him. Why? Why would God do that? God does that because he's going to bring something out of you that's even better than your own personality and personal nature can produce, as good as that is. And in the end, your personality and nature will complement the better you that he has now brought out. Moses became a shepherd, not of goats and sheep in the wilderness, but a shepherd of God's heritage, God's people. That's a powerful thing to think about. What a promotion. So it says, don't lose heart, even the outward man is perishing for a moment, that there's a greater or exceeding glorious thing in you that God is producing. Finally, Ephesians chapter 4, verse 22, that you put off concerning your former conduct the old man. Now, when Paul is talking about putting off old man, putting off the old person, and putting on the new person, he's talking about mindset. The old man is no longer you. That thing's been burnt out of you. But the old man mindset wants to hang around. That's why you have to be renewed day by day. Put off the old man concerning the former conduct, the old man which grows corrupt according to the deceitful desires, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, that you put on the new man which was created according to God in true righteousness and holiness. There's other verses of scripture that's similar. But here's what I want you to catch. The new man is Christ in you, the hope of glory. And that Christ in you is hungry for eagle food. He wants to eat the meat. He wants the word. He wants truth. He wants to see honesty coming out of people. He wants to be honest. That real, true you that's in you desires to be renewed day after day after day. And that new man wants to start to change the way your mind is thinking. Amen. It wants to renew your thoughts so that your thoughts are no longer old, dead, disgusting thoughts, but new, happy, positive, Amen. Loving thoughts. Does that make sense? Because once our mind can get to the place where it needs to be, the body's got to come with it. Remember, if the head goes, the body has to go with it. If the mind can be changed, can be moved into a resurrected power form, the body's got to go with it. Can't stop it. And this message of the hour has the strength to accomplish it. No other word of any other age could do it. Paul knew it. Peter knew it. John knew it. Everybody knew it. Even the reformers knew it. They knew they were dealing with a bunch of babies. But God says, I got a people. I've reserved them. I've waited for the end. They're going to be able to handle mature food. They're going to take it. And they're going to fly because they're under an eagle anointing. They're not under any other land animal. They're an eagle anointing. It's a different anointing. Do you believe that with all your heart? Now, there's a song that I've been singing today. And so we're going to close with a word of prayer. And I want us to sing this if we can pull it up. It's called, I Am the God That Healeth Thee. And I want you to just listen to the words as God speaking to us. It's scripture and it's put into music. And I want you to hear God's voice speaking to you. Whether you're tired, exhausted, fainting, whatever it is, physically, emotionally, mentally, spiritually, doesn't matter. Whatever it is, I want you to hear God speaking to you. I'm healing you. I'm healing you. I'm healing you. I'm healing you. I'm taking disease, right? Dis-ease. I like to break that word up. I'm taking that makes you nervous, that makes you worried, that stresses you, and I'm taking that away. I'm removing that because I've sent my word. What do you think of the power of the words here? I sent my word and healed your disease. I sent. That's all he has to do. He has to send his word. His word can't be sent and fail. God can't send his word and fail. He says, I send my word. It will not come back to me void. It has to come back fulfilled. I send my word. It can't fail. It's got to happen. Who wants God to speak to them tonight? Feel like he is, but you want to hear him in the worship. Lord, hands are up. You can speak right now. Lord, you can vindicate your word. It wasn't my word, Lord. Your word. Let your word be vindicated. Let it be verified, oh God. Let it be authenticated in the lives of these your people. Because as we hear your voice coming from your word, we're transformed people. And Lord, you're transforming us by the renewing of our minds. Renew us now, we pray in Jesus' name. And may the eagles arise. May the eagles arise. Lord, we are rising. We're rising. We're rising by revelation. Upon the wind of revelation, upon revelation, we climb from one to another, from glory unto glory. You're revealing yourself to us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Let's see if we can sing this song. I'm not sure we have it in the book, but at least it's up there. I am the God that healeth thee. I am the Lord, your healer. Well, I sent my word and I healed your disease. It's done now. It's over. I am the Lord, your healer. Sing it again now. I am the God that healeth thee. I am the Lord, your healer. Hallelujah. I sent my word and healed your disease. I am the God, your healer. We're going to sing it one more time. Oh, I am the God that healeth thee. Amen. I am the Lord, your healer. Listen to his voice. Hear him speaking to you. I sent my word and I healed your disease. It's all done. I am the Lord, your healer. I sent my word and I healed all disease. Yes, Lord, I am the Lord, your healer. I want you to know it's done, saints. Your healing is done. You know, God's healed me of several things I've shared with you. My feet and my shoulder that was supposed to be operated on, would have been operated on more than likely. God has healed me, and my neck has been bothering me since 2005, 2006, from a compression accident. And today, the Lord says, I'm not doing a miracle, I'm healing you. I'm like, what does that mean? What does that mean, Brother Tommy? He says, a miracle happens right away. And it's all Him. It's all on Him. But healing is requiring your faith, my faith. And it will take a process of time. I said, Lord, be it unto me according to your word. I'm okay with that too. Because God wants to be pleased. He wants to be pleased. He wants to take pleasure in us. And by doing a miracle, that's, you know, we take pleasure in Him. But when you believe, when you say, Lord, I'm not going to go to the doctor. I'm not going to rely on medicine. I'm going to trust you for this one. That's like, almost sounds a little crazy, doesn't it? But it's like He's saying, if you do that, that makes me, I have pleasure in that. The Bible says that no man can please God except by believing and seeking Him. Faith pleases God. Makes Him so happy. So that's my position, is feel that God is already started the whole process. My neck is like 25% better than it was this whole last year. And I'm just saying, okay, Lord, this is cool. I'm actually getting excited just to see it improve, 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 improve. So as I said to you once when I was through with the catalytic converter business and the throwing 5,000 pounds of rotors into my truck and out day in, day out, and I showed you how my arm wouldn't go up all the way, and this one I could. And I said, but you watch, God's going to heal my shoulder, because everyone was telling me rotator cuff, rotator cuff, rotator cuff. It was like a broken record. And they said, oh, just get the operation. You'll love it. It makes you feel so much better. I said, I got someone who can give me an operation, but he doesn't charge. Because he already paid the bill before it already happened. And as I showed you many, many times, this God's just completely healed me. Completely. I have a twinge here, but that's all I got. And that means nothing to me. That's like Paul said God healed his eyes. Remember, he says, he still says, notice how I write with my big signature? He says, because he still had a little bit of vision issue, but he wasn't blind. God healed him. He could see. Here's what I want to share with you. Whatever it is that you want to see God do something in your life, have a desire that God will do it, not to relieve you of pain. That's not the reason. It's actually the wrong reason. Have God do it. I would like relief from this pain. I'm sick and tired of being sick and tired. But that's not why He's going to do it. God is definitely touched by the feelings of our hurt. He's touched by it, but He's moved by faith. God is touched. He's impacted by your pain. He wants to carry that for you. He did it. He proved it at Calvary. But He's impacted. But you're going to be impacted by His movement on your behalf. So I want you to just shape your prayer. Lord, do this not for me. Do this for you. Are you not the God who healed the sick in the Bible? Didn't you heal the blind man? Didn't you heal the sick, the lame person? Are you not? Isn't that the kind of God that I serve? And didn't you say about the blind person, this is not because of sin or because of this, his mistakes or anything? He said, this is so God can get glory. If you can get glory over that, then you can get glory over this. Do you have a challenge in your life? Is it mental, emotional, spiritual, physical, whatever it is, financial? Why don't you put that in God's hands and say, Lord, for your glory? Don't do this for me. Don't do this for someone else. Do this for your glory. You get glory out of this. I want you to have it. Let me be small and nothing. Just do it, Lord, because when you do that, you're just showing once again what a great God we have. Will you pray that way for me? Will you pray that way for yourselves? Let's remember each other in prayer. And remember, it's for His glory. Lord, we just thank you again for your grace. We ask you to, as we go, as we're being dismissed, that you would go with us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. God bless you. Let's all stand. The Lord, my healer, I am the God, I am the God who healeth thee. Yes, I am the Lord, your healer. Hallelujah. Well, I sent my word, and I healed your disease. Yes, I am the Lord, your healer. Didn't he send his word in this generation? Didn't he send it? Well, I am the God, and I healeth thee. I am the Lord, your healer. Amen. Well, I sent my word, and I healed your disease. I am the Lord, your healer. God bless you till we meet again. May the Lord be with you. Amen.